This week, or rather last week, I visited Edible Uprising Farm, which is a yet to exist but will soon exist farm that is sort of due east of the Rensselaer County Jail, sort of up Thompson Street, and next to the South Troy Dodgers Field. It'll be about an acre of land. It's being started by two people with some past farming experiences or experience who originally are from Colorado. Their names are Ben Stein and Alicia Brown. And they had actually been looking to buy farmland in Vermont, but instead, kind of by happenstance and through a mutual connection with the property owner, John Johansson, settled on Troy after a visit late last year. And so they're leasing this land rather than buying it outright. And they told me that they sort of were happy, although they didn't kind of plan on this whole urban farming thing. They're sort of happy about it, because the vegetable farm scene in Vermont, and vegetable farming is sort of what they're kind of is going to be their bread and butter, at least initially. The vegetable farm scene in Vermont is sort of saturated, and they would have had to, like, make syrup and other sorts of, kind of specialty goods and export it rather than focus on, doing a kind of more traditional sort of CSA, where they sell shares of, like, to so that people can get vegetables locally, every week. They are now currently clearing brush on the property and also sort of planning its layout, which they're pretty much already certain will be about the sort of two little caterpillar tunnels or like little greenhouses, surrounded by fairly densely planted beds. And they've already like tested the soil and stuff, and they think that one of them called it prime agricultural soil, apparently,
Great.
which is surprising to me, I guess, someone not that familiar with farming. But the land they said is in pretty good condition.
I think it had previously been farmland.
Yes, eons ago, perhaps, or at least a
A
while
few
ago.
decades,
Not
yeah.
eons, maybe, but yeah. And one other kind of funny thing about this project that stuck out to me is that Alicia Brown said that digging a well in the city is not allowed, and which would be better probably for their project. So they'll have to use city water, which is treated with chlorine, which is not so great for the soil. So they'll have to some they're gonna filter it or use holding tanks to let the chlorine
Dissipate.
dissipate or something before they use it. So they're developing a strategy to deal with that, but that's just a sort of funny side
Twist.
twist to it. The project is going to be reviewed by the City's Zoning Board of Appeals on the 26th of this month. They're looking for support from the community to kind of cheer them on, although I don't anticipate them having much of a problem, but maybe I'm naive. I think they need at least one like use variance because I don't know that farming is sort of this thing that you can just do as of right. And they may need other. They may be building some sort of small stand or structure that may also need to get the seal of approval. The plans haven't been made public on the at the ZBA the last time I checked on the city website yet. They're aiming for about to have about 30 large shares in the CSA. The pricing scheme sort of range and also the size that you can get, I think, will range. There's several hundred dollars probably give or take, depending on what you choose. And they told me that they've already sold about a quarter of those shares. So I don't know. Act now if this is something that's interesting to you and that you can find out. They have a nicely designed website, and they've had some also nicely designed flyers that you might see around town. That's Edible Uprising Farm.
Where can people go to learn more?
EdibleUprisingFarm.com. Also this last week I got through a Freedom of Information Law request a couple years old study of the Uncle Sam Bikeway. That this is the Uncle Sam Bikeway, I should clarify immediately, is now sort of regarded as this like 6+ mile trail that almost goes from the northern tip of Troy all the way down to the Menands Bridge, through a southern portion of the trail that was recently extended. I say trail just for ease of terminology. It kind of goes on the street at some points and off the street is goes in a contra flow part of during one stretch, which is like two lanes, you know, on the street but separated from the street. I'm just talking now about the portion that goes from Northern Drive, which is again is like at the northern tip of Troy, down to Middleburg Street, you know, kind of the beginnings of North Central,
right here in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, right around here. And it's on an old sort of old rail line at one point. It sort of cuts along the eastern edge of the more densely developed areas of Troy, you know, kind of dividing that portion from more sort of woodsy or parkland, you know, on the east side of that, on the east side of the trail. But it is paved. And the study looks, and the study was never, as far as I can tell, was never released to the public. I'm not sure why. I think like Capital Roots and some other organizations helped to kind of put it together. But it was never released. And other plans have come out, and it's mentioned in another study that was released last year, but this study itself was never released. In any event, it kind of looks at ways to improve this trail, and some of them, if you've ever ridden this trail on your bike or walked it, will be pretty obvious. One kind of thing that could be improved about this trail is that it doesn't really let you get on and off at very many points, despite it being so close to all these different kind of sites of interest. I mentioned in Troy Letter that it abuts at least three parks, big parks, and four different schools, the Lansingburg High School, Knickerbocker Middle School, Rensselaer Park Elementary School, and Catholic Central High School, without really formally connecting to any of them. There may be, you know, sort of informal ways that you could conceivably get on and off the trail, but it's a missed opportunity, and it's sort of like it speaks to when this trail was created, I think in the early 80s, back at a time when, you know, maybe we thought of as this like distinct fitness or recreation activity, right, that like you get on the trail.
Go there to go biking as opposed to integrating it into your daily life.
Exactly. So it kind of limits the bike trail as a commuting opportunity, or just as a way to get to your friend's house or something, like you wouldn't take it. And so that then kind of has a cycle effect on you, because it's not used as much, it feels less safe. The plan also talks about how the shrubs and the trees around the trail should be trimmed or kind of pruned back, so that there's more visibility from outside, so that it doesn't feel so scary and kind of isolated. I think people are afraid to use it, and so then it doesn't get used, and so then it actually is, you know, conceivably less safe to use. Then there's all sorts of recommendations about like, oh, there should be a safety and security plan, or like a maintenance plan, and like a trail or a code of conduct on it, sort of. And then it also points out that the city should have come up with some sort of plan to resurface it. There's some parts where, you know, on bike trails, it's common for a lot of, like, if nothing's done for a while, like roots to kind of grow underneath the pavement, and then that makes for a really rocky ride. So the plan says it should, and this was written a couple of years ago, completely resurface the trail within the next 5 to 7 years, which I don't know. I've been at some city council meetings recently, or at least the most recent one, where there was a lot of talk about how many potholes there are in downtown Troy.
Right.
And it seems like there would be outrage, at least on Facebook, if not in real life, at one of these meetings, if the city resurfaced a bike trail before it patched every single pothole throughout
sidewalk.
The city. And, you know, so I don't know about the political viability of making that happen, unless, you know, I guess there was a concerted effort on the part of, you know, groups like Transport Troy or other people who really care about this stuff to kind of champion it. Yeah. And the report also includes a cost summary of like all the different improvements that they suggest for the trail. I will say that although it seems like a lot of those potential improvements aren't really in the cards for anytime soon, one of the city planning staffers said at a recent Transport Troy meeting that the city is kind of looking at, or is planning to rather, install new wayfinding signage along the trail, kind of that says like, oh, if you're at this point, like it's, you know, 3 miles to Lansingburg or something like that. That's sort of consistent. It kind of gives the trail a cohesive brand or look. And then it's also going to be putting, the city's also going to be installing different intersection treatments, you know, crosswalks or at least some kind of, because the trail crosses streets that automobiles travel on a couple different times. And right now there's little to no kind of, hey, automobiles, bikes are crossing here, which, you know, if you've ever traveled on the bike trail that goes from like Cohoes to Schenectady, that trail does, at least as I recall, a really good job of kind of marking where the bike trails cross the streets.
Yeah,
it's like there's no mistaking that there, this is a bike trail that's crossing and cars should slow down so that they don't T-bone anyone. And then another story that I had last week is, and this is sort of the end of an era, I think, or signals an end of an era that maybe we already knew was happening. The Capital Land taxi stand at 4th Street and Ferry at the southeast corner of 4th and Ferry has closed. This, and there was recently a Times Union story that, where the Times Union talked to the owner of Capital Land, Brett Peek, who I spoke to also for my story, that talked about how the impact of ride hailing in this region has been really felt, no surprise, by the taxi industry in this area. And apparently Capital Land has also closed offices in Schenectady and Saratoga Springs and is also planning to shift its Albany operations to another office that it already has, I guess, in Colony. So sort of really contracting its taxi business. And sidebar, apparently Capital Land is not going away. They're just getting more into like the medical transport industry or business that I guess is more viable. I talked to Brett Peek and he said, yeah, you know, he confirmed that that office is closing. It's sort of funny because, as I noted in the story, the taxi stand is closing just as the Rosenblum Companies almost across the street is starting this big apartment construction project at the site of the former Key Bank that closed. And through, in a way that's kind of really complicated and unwieldy to explain, and I won't go into too much detail, Capital Land basically helped facilitate that Rosenblum project, that specific property, because they sort of traded a parking lot that they controlled through Rosenblum to the city in exchange for Rosenblum buying two lots that were city owned and that had been foreclosed on. For Rosenblum acquired those properties, demolished a building on one of them, and then sort of gave Capital Land on its one where the stand is, a bigger parking lot. So a lot of brain power is a fairly complicated land deal that the city set up to make this Rosenblum project happen, but that wouldn't have happened if not for Capital Land, and now it's closing. So I don't know. That's just sort of a funny happening that Capital Land was kind of involved in that. So I pointed that out in my story this week. Mm-hmm. If I have time, I also this week, and it's, you can't go anymore, but I guess I'll just make a broader comment about Troy Foundry Theater. This is a fairly new theater company in Troy that has sort of made a name for itself quite quickly at producing sort of outside the box, choose your own adventure kind of productions. The most recent one that just ended yesterday on Sunday, I was there. It was called the Prohibition Project, and it was performed at Collar Works, which is in the Hudson Art House apartment building, which is not far from here on River Street. And the gist of the show was just that a bunch of different actors were playing sort of people from that who we think of as like kind of classic characters of the Prohibition era, you know, like a boxer and a crooked politician and a labor organizer, sort of a Kate Mulaney-esque labor organizer, and like a socialite, and all these sorts of characters who would variously come together in the performance to do sort of more interpretive, kind of abstract, kind of
improvisational.
I don't know that any of it was improvised necessarily, but it was sort of more evocative and kind of interpretive, if you will. And then the characters would separate and go into little mini scenes that the audience was able to follow, and then they would come back together and then they would separate. It was sort of impossible, although some things repeated. I guess if you were really diligent about where you went as an audience member, mm-hmm. you could follow all the different plot lines. But it was sort of hard, deliberately so, I think. It was sort of meant to make you feel like, oh, so much is happening. It creates a really liveliness to it. Yes. So it was really fun and sort of unconventional, and they had a bar that was serving like Prohibition era drinks and stuff. And I caught up briefly with the director, Brenna Geffers, who's I guess associated with this company called Diecast that's based in Philly, who Troy Foundry Theater basically commissioned to do this, to help them put on this show, about how do you choreograph this sort of thing. And she sort of was very sort of blasé about it and just said that it comes down to timing. All the actors have their own track and they know what to do and when they can't be late, and they're listening for cues. And so I guess what you would probably the answer that maybe you would expect. And another sort of fun fact about it is that all the actors wrote their own parts. So it wasn't something that was dictated from top down. And it seemed like the actors had fun putting on the performance. Mm-hmm. The company is kind of midway through, I guess, their spring season. And they're going to put on a new dark comedy in late May. One funny thing about the Troy Foundry Theater is that they don't have like a home base besides being in Troy. So they pick different locations for each of their works. So they haven't even announced where the location is of their next performance. But tickets will go on sale next month, so I guess look out for that. they're definitely an unconventional thing. Company, like their last performance was at the Gas Holder building. Mm-hmm. And it had all these, it was a, sort of a Beckett, it was a performance of a bunch of little Beckett shorts. Really cool space to see theater in. So I guess stay tuned for that.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you.